I think the reason why I hesitated to come up here is because I'm going to be, it must be loading, I'm going to be talking about a middle school survey, but the school nurses and the partnership with the school nurses was absolutely critical to this project. So I was thinking about that. I'm going to be talking about a survey that we did at a mid-sized city in Connecticut, but I'd like to first acknowledge my co-authors in this project, Dr. John Bombs and Jennifer Mann from the University of California at Berkeley, and Dr. Eileen Story, who's here. And Dr. Story is Professor Emeritus at the UConn Health Center. During the course of this project, she was the director of the Center for Public Health and Health Policy and the Center for Indoor Environments and Health. She's currently at NIOSH's Division of Respiratory Disease in West Virginia. So as Professor Emeritus, I still get to work with her a little bit. I'd also like to take a moment to just note some appreciation. Oh, and I have nothing to disclose. I forgot to put that slide in, other than what I'm disclosing. I'd like to really thank our partners that weren't mentioned earlier, and that's at the Burlington-Bristol Health District in Connecticut. Dr. Pat Checo is the retired director of health, and I would say Eileen and I sat down with her 7 years ago maybe to first talk about how important it would be to do more outreach related to asthma with the children in the school. And it's really her perseverance and then the ability through the University of California, Berkeley, to put some funding together that we were able to do the survey. Judy Mayo was the director of nursing during the time of the project and really was my partner from soup to nuts in the project. Lynn Abrahamson is the current director and is very supportive. In fact, we're talking about additional work. Of course, most critically, the students in the seventh grade in the schools and the school nurses that really made it happen. They really are the people that made the survey work. And I'd also like to note Dr. Grail O'Brien, who's a pediatrician that works with us, and you'll hear in a little while how to determine, even after you look at the data, who is at risk, who is out of control, and what do the responses mean, is not as straightforward as one might think. And Dr. Story and Dr. O'Brien went over different algorithms, different schemes for doing that so that we could be as conservative as possible in our outreach and be sure to try to be recommending additional physician involvement with the children where it was needed. Connie Cantor, who's our graphics person, and she's phenomenal, and if you think my slides are pretty in some of the graphics, you should see what she had to translate to make them look like this. Our data core is wonderful and did the forms for me and helped me with the database. And, of course, the University of California at Berkeley, who are our partners, because ultimately what they're doing are similar surveys that they're using to develop health outcomes data to look at with environmental data to better understand as part of the environmental public health tracking, and of course CDC for its support. So we had three project objectives that all overlap but really are very discrete, and I'm going to try to briefly talk about the project in terms of these objectives. Number one, the outreach that I talked about. Number two, in Connecticut, our school nurses every year now have to report to the Department of Public Health on students with asthma. They don't identify the children per se, but as a surveillance mechanism. And it's a new system. It has lots of promise, and we wanted to use the survey as not really to contrast with the nurses' work, but rather to enrich our efforts in surveillance. So that was an important objective. And then the objective, of course, to be able to say something about the quality of the outcomes data and the scale of the outcomes data so we can look at it with environmental information. The roles of the three team members, the health district really implemented the survey, first identified the need, made the connections with the school district. Berkeley provided the algorithms and the survey that they were using and are still using in Fresno and Oakland, California. So, and they also did the analysis of the data and really have been the collaborators on, because they have the experience here that we then tried to duplicate in Connecticut. Our work was in collaboration with the health district. We provided a lot of training and guidance and support to the school nurses. And as I said, we reviewed case definitions, the algorithms for the various objectives and goals. We're talking about asthma, and I just want to step back and just look at some prevalence numbers so that when we get into our survey, we have some comparison numbers. And probably you've all, and I'm delighted to see the number of people that are here. Thank you on the last day for being here. And probably most of you are here and you know a lot about the topic. You've seen this chart. Our asthma prevalence, this is in children nationally, was on a definite upward climb. The methods on how we track asthma nationally changed, so some of the change in the flattening probably has to do with the methods. But I will say I looked up the 2006 data, which is available, and these measures seem to be flattening out. Now, I don't know why. I suspect medications have certainly something to do with the attack prevalence flattening out. I also don't know if it's that we're really counting things, that we're getting all the data that we need to get, or it really has flattened out. In Connecticut, this is the data that comes out of the national systems, but the question's in Connecticut. And I just point out our age group was 12 and 13, so we're kind of in two of those bars. Ever had asthma, because I'm going to talk about doctor diagnosis, in the national data is 17.6, and current asthma 9.1, 11.6. As I said, in Connecticut, and I got a lot of slides, so I'm going to go fast. In Connecticut, we have our school nurse reports. It is a state law. What's required is that on the health assessment record, the physicians mark off asthma. And then the school nurses report on that and other things. This is the form that they submit to the state every year. I'll point out, I don't have time to go through everything, that the nurse, if they use the health assessment record, but they also can use medication orders, parental notes, symptoms observed, asthma action plans. They're allowed to use other sources of information to report that there's an to the prevalence numbers. It's a great opportunity for the nurses to intervene because nurses become more aware. Clearly, all the things that I've said about disease tracking and surveillance, I think that elementary school reflection on asthma is a reflection of the community. It's also a reflection of conditions of the building. It's also, you know, there's a different scale there. But I think it's very intriguing in terms of looking at environmental data. Huge challenges with the system. Mostly, every school nurse is a little different. If you've ever worked with school nurses, they are my heroes. I don't know how they do everything they need to do. I have no clue that there's enough time in the day or how they meet their needs. And I know in areas of the country there aren't even enough school nurses. So there needs to be some sort of training around case definitions. So in Connecticut, from this system, we have prevalence numbers around 11. Bristol is a small city in Connecticut. It is a poor city. 30% of the students qualify for free lunch, but it has a very stable population. This 86.4% attend the same school that they attended the year before. That, to me, is very dramatic in comparison to other cities in Connecticut. We had a lot of support. I will say that we suggested that the surveys be administered exactly the same in each school. Well, that didn't really happen, that each school and each administrator selected how best to get participation, and we had over 86% participation. We did use the exact same protocol that was used in California. That's the second page of our survey instrument. It is the same one used in California. It is adapted from ISACS, the International Survey on Allergy and Asthma, that's done with really tens of thousands of kids across the world. 14 simple questions, very short, very easy to go through. Data was analyzed. We developed criteria for our referral letters, which might be different. Remember our three objectives always. And when the letters went out to 80 kids who reported symptoms that through looking at a number of different algorithms, Dr. O'Brien and Dr. Story felt that the parents should be notified. And then possibly at risk, they did not say they had an asthma diagnosis, but their symptoms were sufficient enough that we were concerned that there were some respiratory issues that a doctor should address. This is one of those graphics I was talking about. Our participation, there were 807 seventh graders in the school. We had data on 704, 695 did the survey, and there were 9 additional that the school nurses reported on. The survey results, and what this diagram shows you, really, I'm getting to my conclusion fast, is that you need both systems. They overlap, but they are not completely overlapping. They're not they are mutually exclusive, I guess is what I want to say. So 80 of these that self-reported asthma diagnosis did get letters, and 24 additional that we felt were at risk. Prevalence numbers, depending on which, you know, cut you're taking, ran from 7.7% to 19.1%. I want to just, again, I didn't in this presentation go into the detailed algorithms we used, but remember that they are different purposes. So the algorithm is the means that we analyze the data to determine the severity of the symptoms that the children are reporting on. So the one that I have up there as surveillance is the one that is used in California for the Environmental Public Health Tracking Program. And one of our goals, a very important goal, was to see how our results compared with California's. And what this chart tells you, it's just looking at the data with one algorithm, one way of analyzing it. And I was shocked when I looked at this because it is very comparable. And Fresno is a very different community than Bristol, Connecticut in many ways. So I don't know if this is saying that the issues are school buildings. I don't know if this is saying that the issue is environment. But it is saying that we're on a reasonable track to look at what's the picture of respiratory disease asthma in our children. So the project results, letters went out to 104 families, that the two systems were both needed for surveillance. 1 minute, great, I'm going to be right on time. And that the results were compatible. And general conclusions, and I can't emphasize enough, that local health departments, and Paul is smiling out in the back I see, are so critical in identifying public health needs. You know, that if it really was the local health director and the partnership with us to say, she identified this is an issue, I'm sure that we need to do more outreach. And coming from the environmental standpoint, because all the good things I said about medication, I sometimes am worried that with all those good things about medication, we still have problems in the environment that doesn't seem as important anymore, and yet it is. So that's important. Proactive surveillance identifies children who are not well controlled, who do need to get better control. School nurses are a tremendous opportunity as to be partners to helping with this problem. However, we need resources to help them. We need to train them. We need to give them, whether it's software tools, But we need to support them in a much larger way than we're currently doing, and that these kinds of surveys can contribute to the environmental public health tracking research. And I thank you very much, and I look forward to tons of questions when we have questions.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Is Sonia Haynes here? Oh, great.